coming up this week on the Course of Life podcast at the Rocket Mortgage Classic. An absolutely shocking turn of events. Definitely not something we predicted. We have a back-to-back winner on the PGA Tour in Tony Finau. And at the third live event at a Trump course, surely drama was produced. There was controversy, of course, and more rumors. Plus, the Top Golf Tour has begun. We're tuned in to a travel couple in Lois and Clark. And this week's guest, we have Gianna Gravelis from both Kissboy and Nesman Dirty Water Media. She has some amazing content, and you've definitely heard her on air before. Plus, we talk wedding food orders and ice cream when we always end with food. All of it brought to you by our friends at Desert Fox Golf. They're the makers of the Phone Caddy, and we love the Phone Caddy because it keeps our phone safe. Mike, absolutely nothing worse in 2022 than when you drop your phone. There's so many things that can go wrong. You know, you have that fateful moment when you turn your phone over and you're like, A, do I have the screen protector on? B, is my phone fried? None of those things have to happen when you have a Desert Fox Phone Caddy because it keeps your phone locked in and safe on the golf course at all times. So check out desertfoxgolf.com. Promo code Course of Life to save 10% off your phone caddy. Again, desertfoxgolf.com, and get your phone caddy today.
Interwebs, and welcome to Course of Life, part of the Morning Read Podcast Network. We are proud to be presented by our friends at Desert Fox Golf, Swing Strong, and D3 Golf. I'm Michael, he's Alex. And Alex, it was the Rocket Mortgage Classic in Detroit this weekend. A so-so field. There were some big names out there. Patrick Cantlay was in the field, and so was Tony Finau, coming off a win from the week prior at the 3M Classic. And we said the week before that, you know, Finau, you know, we weren't gonna put a dollar down on him. We didn't think he had a chance to win 2 weeks in a row. Well, guess what? Tony Finau is the hottest golfer in the world right now, winning 2 weeks back to back after only having two previous career victories, if my memory serves correctly. He now has in all of his time, he now has two in 2 weeks. So Tony Finau, is he now the favorite to win the FedEx Cup?
He's one of them at this point, especially when the way you win late in the season like this, it just feels like it matters even more. And he's positioned himself in that top five for sure. So things are looking up for Finau. And this was unbelievable. This was like, we didn't make many predictions last week, but the one thing we did predict is that there's no way there would be a Tony Finau back-to-back trophy lifting. And here we are. The guy that we have just ridiculed for years and years as never being able to close out anything, all of a sudden has closed out two tournaments in 7 days, and he shut us up real quick.
Yeah, I mean, I still don't know if he's maybe major material. I think we're still going to go
that's a different category right now. But he is a winner when he wants to be, and he kept saying about opportunities and at-bats, and he puts himself in position. I guess his turn's finally coming. It feels like it.
I mean, he's been in contention at majors. He's had opportunities. He's just never been the best player for the whole weekend at a major in order to really put him over the top. Did you see, do you think how smart he played, especially on Sunday at the Rocket Mortgage, where he was just playing smart with his three-stroke lead? Do you think he is getting the mental fortitude and the right game planning in place so that he can win a major? Are we going to see him winning a major sometime in the next 2 years?
You know, the one thing I did notice on the weekend with Finau is he's always been a long hitter. Like, he doesn't even have a real full swing, and he's been one of the longer hitters on the tour. And there are moments when he can really try and unleash it, and then he starts to get wayward with the tee ball. He was just hitting this kind of nice little controlled, little low cut. Wouldn't it be nice to have just a nice little 310-yard low cut? It flies 260 and rolls about 50 yards, and he kept it in play wonderfully when he just needed some big drives to be executed. So yeah, just maybe that slight dial back, just a little bit of maturity with time and opportunity for Finau. I noticed that with his driving. If he can bring that to a major stage, you have to feel like with all these at-bats, he's going to get a chance at a major. We don't know if he's going to capitalize, but these couple wins right here sure are nice padding.
Yeah, it is indeed. And of course, just with everything else going on in the world of golf, there may be less guys out there at these majors in the next couple of years. So he may have increased opportunities.
This is true. Yeah, I mean, the full field wasn't too bad. You mentioned Cantlay was there in contention. My pick was Cam Young, the runner-up.
Both of us had Cam Young.
Yeah, yours pick too. We were riding him hard, and he was just right there in the top five all week. Super consistent week. Again, only shot 3 under on this course. It, you know, shot 20 under for the week. In theory, you'd think that'd be good enough to contend on the PGA Tour, but not here. They were just carving this course up.
Mm-hmm. And then Patrick Cantlay, who now also is like number one or two in the FedEx Cup standings, I think, or something like that. Or actually, sorry, Cantlay's number five. He had a good week as well. He's put together a couple good weeks. He's got a bunch of top tens to his name this season. So
yeah, the automatic guys when it comes to just FedEx and just the numbers right now. And it started with Scottie Scheffler and Sam Burns. He kind of had that run where we talked about how they grew up together and they both had some great finishes. And Burns had a couple wins of his own while Scheffler just went crazy. And then as the season's transition, we've gotten more and more consistency from guys like Cantlay and Finau. So it is setting up to be a good playoff run.
Let's talk a little bit about the other tournament going on this weekend stateside, and that was at Trump Bedminster for LIV Golf.
Yes, New Jersey, outside of New York. Trump, New York, not in New York, in New Jersey. Very much in New Jersey,
just yes. For the record, too. And once again, thin crowds. The Chainsmokers didn't even play, right? They got sick. They didn't even play. They're at Apri Golf.
I know you were dying for that Chainsmokers set, and you didn't get it. I'm sorry about that.
And the feedback that we heard was what we usually hear. Very little people, free tickets, but still nobody was there. golf quality was very poor. And it was just loud from the music going on there. And Henrik Stenson really kind of stuck his middle fingers up in the air to everybody and said, "See, I can beat a weak field when I only have to play for 3 days."
Yes, that was maybe the most unique part of the week was Henrik Stenson doing the flex of, "All right, fine, I'm just going to leave the tour and the Ryder Cup and I'm just going to go win a boatload of money. Ha, 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 F you." So, that part is a funny story in theory, but like you said, I'm drawing back on the old Kenny Mayne Sports Center quote from back in the day, full of sound and fury, signifying absolutely nothing. That's what I feel like these LIV events are coming to be at this stage, because the headlines are growing. Off the golf course, LIV stock is through the roof. Off the golf course. Yeah. In the headline, the news, the controversy. But when we actually get to the theoretical golf on hand, when the balls are struck and things are in play, there's just not a whole lot of juice, excitement on the course and with the environment, despite how loud they're telling you it is. I don't know. I'm getting very mixed messages with the energy off the course and what's actually happening on the course with LIV Golf.
Yeah, you know, I have trouble in general kind of believing all the stories that LIV Golf has tried to tell. If we talk about trying to grow the game, they're not attracting fans. They're not growing the game that way, that's for sure. They talk about playing, that the guys are going to have to play less golf so they have more time to not play golf. Or guess what? Coming up in the next season and going forward, you're going to be playing just as many, if not more, tournaments, especially if you're able to get into the majors, than you currently do on the PGA Tour.
It could be. That number could be around 20-ish. I did notice that. I was like, wait a second. 20-ish events, like that's,
and
like
they're being required now to play in these events on LIV Golf as opposed to the PGA Tour, where they can make their own schedule and they can play however they want to play. On LIV Golf now, it's you're going to play in these events, so there's less freedom in making their own schedules, which I find really interesting as well.
It is interesting. Let's get to a couple quick announcements before we get to the schedules coming up in golf. David Faraday debut. I watched most of the coverage. I was really just tuned into the first 15 minutes to get kind of his thoughts on everything. And it's great to have David Faraday's voice back on the air. That was very much welcome. But it's just not quite the same product that he was calling, and this quite the same scene that he was setting. He's now fully back in the booth. We're not getting him on the course, it appears, for the start. So it's a little bit of a filtered Faraday. Maybe we're getting about 70% of the true Faraday I remember, which is funny because I thought in theory we would get more of a filter on the PGA Tour versus LIV Golf, but he seemed a little bit toned back to me in week one.
Yeah, you know, it's You never know. It could be that they don't really, maybe they don't really know how to use them because they don't want to give them full range, because if they give them full range, you might start blasting the Saudi royal family. So yes,
he could. He would do that shamelessly knowing him as well.
He would. I still think the marquee booth for them to have really on the 18th tower is David Faraday and Gary McCord. I think that's your 18th tower.
Us living in our 2000 CBS pipe dream. Yeah. Travel there. Love that.
It is indeed. And in the other big announcement, of course, that came out last week, which had me in tears, is Bubba.
Yeah. Our mutual friend, my buddy Anthony, texted me too and said, just saw the Bubba news. This one actually hurts. And yeah. I don't know what it is, because Bubba is maybe not in his peak or prime of his career by any stretch of the imagination. But I said to Anthony in our conversation, you know, Bubba's one of those guys where he's like one of the top 10 or so names you always look for when you go to a tournament and say, I want to follow him. He produces that flair with his game and his personality. So that was a significant loss that had to be noted.
Yeah, and you know, his role over the last couple seasons where he maybe hasn't been playing as well and he's had a couple injuries and he's been out there rooting, especially he's been a big cheerleader for the LPGA. Which
Ryder Cup and Solheim Cup, remember that?
Yeah. He's not doing that now. He's committed to the Saudis and LIV Golf. And there was a lot of talk, his name had been floating around for a while, that he might be going over to LIV. And there was talk that he's a very religious man, and there was belief that he wasn't going to be able to justify that and to go to the Saudis and what they've done. But, you know, once again, these guys are just disingenuous and aren't just saying it straight up as, hey, money talks. And and I'm going for the money.
Politics is back ferociously in this podcast, isn't it? It's crazy. Every week here, you know, on the LIV Tour.
Yeah. But, you know, I will say it hurt when Phil did this. Phil had a different kind of fall from grace, I think, especially with everything going on. This Bubba thing really makes me rethink a lot about him as well. And it's really disappointing.
Yeah, an interesting choice, to say the least. So with all that, obviously, we heard a little bit about the LIV schedule in 2023. But we did get the full release on the official 22-23 wraparound schedule. Could be maybe last times we see that, for sure.
Yeah. The final wraparound schedule ending in, once again, a 3-event FedEx Cup playoffs with a smaller field. Yeah, we're going to have like half the guys making it into the FedEx Cup playoffs now. Only 70 make it into the St. Jude, only 50 into the BMW, and then only 30 into the Tour Championship. And of course, the prize money is going through the roof again on a lot of stuff here. There's a lot of much bigger prize pools out there. You're seeing the invitationals are skyrocketing as well. All three of the player host invitationals, the Genesis, the Memorial, and the Arnold Palmer, are going from $12 million to $20 million purses. I mean, these are just big events now you're seeing all over on the PGA Tour. They're not $40 million purses, and then you're not getting paid just to show up, but they're big purses.
You're getting pretty damn close. We're not going to be that far away. You joke about the gap in the finances now, but they're probably closing it in the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
I mean, as crazy as that is, yeah. Dell Match Play up from 12 to 20, along with the other 20 million in purses, along with the other WGCs. I was at first worried, like, as LIV came along, I'd be worried about that field. I'm not worried about that Dell Match Play field. I know if you're in the top 64, you are coming to Austin. And no questions asked with that purse now.
Yeah, and that's great for that event, because that is obviously an event that's a lot of fun to watch. And now to have it be that much more in terms of a purse, I think you're going to keep seeing guys like Scottie Scheffler go there and the other big names to finally play in this.
He loves it. Loves it in Austin. Good stuff. Yeah, so that's the schedule release. We'll pay more attention to all the LIV drama and PGA Tour schedule releases to come. And I'm sure there will be no lack of announcements in the coming weeks as well.
There never is. There's never a week off anymore. There never is. Let's talk about something that you started this weekend in your personal golf adventures. And that's what we're calling our Topgolf tour.
That's right. Kicked it off right here at the home base in Austin, Texas. Shout out to our friends at Topgolf. Love going to Topgolf. And it's been a little bit too long, admittedly, since I last went to the Austin one. So I paid it a visit. And beautiful sunny day, not too hot. Got there early in the morning, had some brunch, pulled some trick shots off. Be sure to follow at COL Podcast, and I'm at Course of Life Alex on Instagram to check out the video I put together from there. But always good to just let some stress out and just bang a million balls at Topgolf.
Yeah, and you know, I think everyone once again was reminded by how ugly your swing is.
Yes, shout out to my fans. I love my fans. I love it when people tell me that my swing is effing atrocious.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
The Instagram friend I made there. Yes, I've got a funny swing. Go ahead and roast me in the comments for it. I will gladly challenge anyone who roasts me in the comments on the D3 Golf app as well, too. So you can just download the app and challenge me if you actually think that my swing is crap. I'll take your money and you can keep that little insult of yours.
Well, you know, I just want to point out, I haven't really criticized your golf swing that much, and I've beaten you several times on D3. So
you have. It's up to anyone.
I'm looking forward to seeing your swing in person at the end of this month. In the beginning of September.
We'll talk more about that later. We've got a lot of content planned, and we got more Topgolf tour plans as well.
Well, more Topgolf, and we'll have a in-person Course of Life event for the first time in like 4 years.
I need some legit practice for that. I am seriously ready to take your money when that does happen. I hit some good stinger drivers. I hit my favorite shot at Topgolf, which always turns the eyes of a few people, which is the driver off the deck. I can absolutely rope that thing out to the back net. So it's always good to make contact on one of those. And good times as always at Topgolf, and look forward to future stops along the way.
Let's take a look ahead to this weekend, where it is the final event of the regular PGA Tour season. It's the Wyndham Championship in North Carolina. It's the last chance to get into that 160?
Whatever that number is, we have no clue. It used to be 125, but thanks to our friends at Liv, it's something more, maybe.
Yeah, so this is, it's an exciting event if you're a golf fan and you want to see who's on the bubble and who has a chance to really make a big push and get up there into the standings to make it into the playoffs. So that's really what we're here for at the Wyndham Championship.
That's what this week is all about, is the annoying amount of live FedEx Cup point standing updates. And now after that putt, Mike, he goes from 127 to 134. And then 15 minutes later, he goes from 134 to 131. So we're going to get into that math all weekend long. That's pretty much what's going to be happening on the broadcast. But it's a fun classic track that's been on tour forever. Been there for the last 15 years. Who we got? We got Justin Rose, Billy Horschel, Adam Scott were a few of the notable guys I saw in the field. Again, not the greatest field because of the WGC and playoffs coming up, but always some good end of season drama coming this week.
Yes, indeed. And we'll especially be watching our boy Dylan Wu, who's right on the bubble.
So we had Dylan on in 2020 and been in communication with him. It's rookie season, obviously. This is go time week for Dylan right now. Going to need something pretty special, probably in the top 5 or top 10 to get into that magical top 1 something, whatever number for the FedEx Cup playoffs. But yeah, surely we'll be seeing the drama all week on Golf Channel and CBS. And one of the swan songs for Nick Faldo on the call as well, too.
Yeah, that's true. We'll keep an eye on it, and we'll have our picks out on Twitter, so keep your eyes out there. For now, let's switch over to Tuned In and share what we're tuning into outside of the world of sports. This past week, Alex, I have found again a show from my childhood that I loved when it was on ABC. And, you know, we all have our superheroes that we look up to. And to me, Lois and Clark, The New Adventures of Superman, that was my Superman. Dean Cain as Superman, Terry Hatcher as Lois Lane. This was my Superman as a kid.
Love that. And, shout out Terry Hatcher, too. Good.
Yeah.
Dean Cain. These are good throwback names from 90s television life and us as kids. When did that show actually come out? Do you remember?
It was like 94, 95. Yeah. Okay. The effects have not held up. Oh, I don't think they were any good back then either. There is not a whole lot of Superman flying, but there's at least one shot in every one of Dean Cain being hoisted by wires and looking like he's flying and not looking like he's flying all at the same time. So,
Yes. Yeah. I love that. By the way, I think Dean Cain's like one of those celebrities, like you can get him on Cameo for like $50 now. If you just want to say hi to Dean Cain, he's probably on there.
Probably.
Lois and Clark. Good stuff. Good childhood throwback there. My content was kind of a little bit of a stream off of last week's podcast guest. You remember we had Matt Curtis from Golf in Your State on, who is pretty much full-time van life. I think the YouTube algorithm kicked in, because I stumbled upon a traveling couple that has millions of subscribers, probably not new to a lot of people, but I started watching videos from Kara and Nate. They're a big time traveling couple that's been to over 100 countries around the world.
I've watched their stuff.
They had some really cool stuff. And then COVID hit, and then they had to live the van life as well too for about a year and a half or two and documented all that. They're back out on the road and post some really cool content to YouTube, Mike. I guess the question is, now that I'm seeing this van life over and over again, I'm wondering in my head, how long could I actually survive and live the van life if I knew I just had to drop everything and just start driving? I think I'd start pulling my hair out after about the first week, but I was curious how long you think you'd last.
I think a week is generous. I think the biggest problem obviously would be, even more than having just space to kind of stretch out, would be a private bathroom.
Yeah, you're not a small individual as well, too. So, you know,
not that I'm fat. I am not fat. Okay.
You do need a little bit of headroom for the bathroom and the stretching out at night, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I am 6'1". I'm tall. So, and I will say I have been, spoiled having, when we bought our new build house several years ago that we've been in now, we have a very large master bathroom. You remember our dorm rooms in college, Alex?
I do. Too well, actually.
The bathroom is maybe bigger than our freshman dorm room.
There you go. See, we're moving up in the world. That's so, how you know we made it. Right?
So,
yeah. Kara and Nate on YouTube, check them out if you want to watch some fun travel content and just live vicariously.
Let's go ahead and get into this week's guest. They're not living in a van, but they are living their life out there in Boston and posting everything great on TV and radio, because they're doing everything right now. And they got their Instagram feed full of a lot of really awesome food places, including the Phantom. I saw they went to the Phantom Gourmet Food Festival. I completely, you know, I've been away too long. I completely forgot about the Phantom Gourmet.
Yeah, so Gianna Gravelis is basically like our unofficial now food connection to everything back home that you and I love. Because what she does is she just hosts those awesome food TV shows that we always wanted to host our entire life. And she does it all in Boston, New England. So really great content on her feed, but also what she puts out for Nessun and Dirty Water Media. And she's on Kiss 108 afternoons as well, too. The most well-known hit music station in Boston. So a lot of opportunities to check her out, but you can hear her right here on The Course of Life now.
And we'll get to that conversation with her in just a moment. But first, let's talk about D3, the official on-course betting app of Course of Life. We talked about it briefly just a minute ago. You know, if you don't like Alex's swing and you think it sucks, you should challenge him to a match, and he'll show you that a horrible, no good, ugly swing can produce positive results. Because what do you usually play? You're usually, what, like five over?
Or yeah, something? Man, I can break 80 in the days, right? Absolutely.
Yeah, there you go.
That's definitely the way to do it. We love D3, like we mentioned earlier. It's our go-to golf betting app. And the thing that's really the key here is you can quickly make the wager with someone, but then it's the payout at the end. It's always tricky. We don't always have cash. We don't need to do a Venmo or in on the 18th green or anything crazy like that. Like, you can actually just transfer funds right through the app. And that way, the winner of the bet can take those funds immediately and get stuff and do stuff and live from there with their winnings for how well they played on the course. So that's the neat part about D3, but there's a lot more to check out for yourself. So check out the D3 app and be sure to challenge us to a match as soon as you get out on the course. Next up, we have a reporter on all things Boston for Nessun and Dirty Water Media. You can hear her on nights at Kiss 108 as well. She's got one of the tastiest feeds on IG. It's Gianna Gravelis joining The Course of Life. Gianna, how are you tonight?
I'm great. How are you?
Very good. It's always awesome to connect with someone back in Boston. I've been in Texas for a while, but I love connecting back to my home. Tell me a little bit maybe about your background and upbringing in the area and what you love so much about Boston.
Yeah, so first and foremost, I have to admit, I'm not from the city of Boston. I know that's a huge thing with Massachusetts people.
You fooled us, because you've pretty much been to every spot in the city, so it basically feels like you're from there.
The amount of time I spend in Boston versus my house, like, I'm in this actual city, but I live 20 minutes outside the city, but I swear to God, I spend more time in the city than I do, like, literally in my house sleeping. Like, I'm always there. Always doing some sort of shoot, some sort of event. But yeah, I grew up a little bit closer to the city of Boston in Revere.
Nice.
Fun fact, it's actually, like, if you've ever heard of Revere Beach, today is, I just learned this, the 126th anniversary of the day that Revere Beach became the nation's first public beach. So that's
I love that. And shout out to our favorite Kelly's Roast Beef as well, too.
Yeah. Oh my God. Don't even get me started. I mean, you talked about food. I'm a Kelly's advocate. I love Kelly's. I love the cheese fries, grilled cheese. Oh my God. Buffalo chicken wraps, everything from Kelly's. Oh, I could go on and on.
Love that. Let's get to the food right now and talk about that. So first of all, people who don't know, tell us a little bit about what you do with Nesson and Dirty Water Media and kind of how the opportunity came about for you to cover the city the way you do.
Okay. Yeah. So kind of a crazy story. So I went to school for broadcast journalism.
Yep.
And I unfortunately graduated in 2020, which, as we all know, was not the best year to graduate.
Yeah, I've heard. Yeah.
Yeah. Especially for the media industry. I mean, my professors were always telling me since I was a freshman, you know, this industry is like nearly impossible to break into, and then throw a pandemic on top of it. It was like impossible. But I was researching and researching, you know, I went out to school in California. Then they sent me back home, to Linfield, Massachusetts. And I was sitting in my bed, just Googling, you know, media companies in Boston, like Boston media, like fun entertainment news. Cause I mean, I knew I didn't want to do hard news because
right.
Look at the world right now. I don't even like want to talk about it. I know it's important to talk about like in general, but in terms of career, I didn't want that to be my main focus, like all hours of the day, because it's depressing. Like it really is.
It is. Yeah.
My passion was lifestyle, entertainment. And after a few Google searches, I came across Dirty Water Media on Instagram, actually. And I checked out their website and I didn't know if they were hiring or not. So I said, you know what, I'm just going to email the generic email for the company, my demo reel and my resume. So I emailed them that and I was like, I would love the opportunity. I'm available for hire, this, that, the other thing. And like a few days go by and I get no answer. And me being me, I'm very relentless. I hate like taking no for an answer or getting no answer at all. So I messaged them on Instagram and I was like, yo, can I have a job? Like, please, I'm begging you. And my boss, who I didn't know was typing to me at the time, was like, yeah, just email us. And I was like, actually, I already did. I was like, oh, okay, like, let me take a look. And she called me within like a day and was just like, oh my God, I love your stuff. Like, would you want a shadow, a shoot like tomorrow? And I said, absolutely. And I was supposed to just be shadowing and watching the girls. And it was a hot, hot summer day in July 2 years ago. And one of the girls started to like faint a little bit. Like she got really dehydrated and she couldn't carry on with the shoot. So
you got called off the bench, it sounds like.
Exactly. So, you know, I was being a bench warmer. I got called up and I essentially did the whole thing. And my boss was really impressed with how I handled such a last minute situation. And I've been being with them ever since, doing all things nightlife, fun, food, entertainment all over New England.
Very cool story and inspirational. A general Google search and a random email that came through. So that's good. That's news for everyone out there, that the opportunities can come with persistence. I love that.
Yes, they can. I live by that rule. So yeah.
Definitely. Let's talk about some of the different New England hotspots. Again, it's Gianna Gravelis on Instagram. The feed's ridiculous. I'm glad I checked you out right before I was eating dinner and doing research for this conversation because you post some of the most amazing treats from all around New England. Let's talk about a couple of brunch spots, though, which I can tell are your specialties. One specifically, you did a post about a really cool place in the Harvard Square neighborhood, I believe. It was The Source, and it looked like just an amazing assortment of brunch foods. Tell us a little bit about that experience.
Yeah. So The Source was actually the very first restaurant that invited me in myself, like without Dirty Water. They
nice.
Were like, hey, just you. Do you want to come in, try some food and post about it? And I was so excited because I've just loved food since I was a baby. Like I never had a picky eating phase. I was just with my grandmother the other day, actually. And she was like, you were the easiest kid. Like you ate everything. You always cleaned your plate. Like I've just been a foodie since I was born. Like seriously, no exaggeration. So yeah, they invited me in. I didn't even, you know, I've always creep on Instagram pages before I go out to eat. So I did that. And I just ordered everything off the menu. I mean, between their pizzas, which they're most known for, their pepperoni pizza with caramelized onions, that was to die for. They had souffle pancakes and they had like the best French toast I've ever had in my entire life. They actually have it in limited quantities. So if you go, they couldn't even have it some days because it's so popular that they run out. It's like a stuffed French toast that has a crusted outer layer, and it's topped with edible flowers and fruit and powdered sugar. Oh my God.
Yes.
I could just talk about this restaurant for days. The cocktails were so amazing, refreshing. They came in really cool glasses too. It was just such a great experience. I've actually been dying to go back there. I haven't gone back since, but maybe I'll do that this weekend.
I think so. It's going to be there, which is maybe the Boston experience that I took as most noteworthy. But also one really cool place that you went to for brunch as well was called The Goat. And there was some sort of picture with you maybe having a gigantic dessert milkshakey. I don't know if it's a cocktail or not, but tell us about that experience outside the city.
Yeah, so it's so cool because, you know, Boston, I feel like we have the privilege, even Massachusetts, we are so close to New Hampshire, Maine, you know, it's everything in New England is so close by. Whereas, you know, when I went to school in California, you couldn't leave the state unless you were driving 8+ hours. So I love the fact that I get to travel to these different places. So The Goat specifically, there is one on Hampton Beach, but the one that I went to for the first time was the one in Manchester, New Hampshire, which was a little bit further away. And those cocktails you were talking about, they were cocktails. So they were, I'm at a loss for words even just thinking about these. So the main thing they have is a goat cane cocktail. It comes in this mason jar that's bigger than my head. It is a Long Island iced coffee.
Oh,
so
wow.
It has all the boozes you can imagine on top of that iced coffee flavoring. And then it's topped with a whole piece of coffee cake. So if you're going with a group of people, that's definitely a shareable. And then they always have other crazy boozy milkshake specials. I know for St. Patrick's Day, they had like a green Lucky Charms drink. They have those like Choco Taco drinks. They have so many things if you have a sweet tooth like I do.
Yeah, that shake cocktail was impressive. And that's certainly a good way to get your Sunday going for sure.
Yeah, absolutely.
So yeah, let's talk about the commonalities with your visits. Now that you've been to a lot of places, I'm curious, is there maybe something that you've tried at a lot of different places? Do you get the same drink at every stop, or is there a specific menu item you love trying and comparing?
Okay. I love this question because yes, I love trying every single restaurant's espresso martini because I feel like that's been such a new up and coming drink, even though it's been around for so long. Like I've been loving to sip on espresso martinis since before I was 21, like sorry, not sorry,
yeah.
But it's one of my favorite drinks. Specifically, my favorite one has to be from Brico in the North End. That is like the best espresso martini. So I love going to different restaurants to see if they can top it or come close to it. And some restaurants definitely have came close to it. I know I went to this place and I'm forgetting the name of it, unfortunately, off the top of my head, but they had a twist on an espresso martini and they used Screwball peanut butter whiskey. So it was like a peanut butter cup espresso.
That's dangerous.
It was so dangerous. And that was like the closest drink that I've had that could top Rico. But other than that, like I'm very picky. That's the one thing I'm picky about. So I love going to these restaurants and they're like, we have the best espresso martini. And I try it and I'm like, guess what? This is good, but it's not the best. And that's when I have to be brutally honest.
Yeah. The standards get higher. Indeed. kind of like El Prez, you're reviewing pizza, you know, it's hard to get anything above an 8 these days. So it goes the same for you for espresso martinis.
Oh, 100%. Yes.
I'm curious kind of how this all works in that I did note on your profile that you are an advocate for the Crohn's community and a crony yourself. And for people who don't know, that is a disease that definitely affects kind of the way you intake food and digest. And I wonder kind of how you kind of tackled that throughout this role and trying all these different things. Does that limit or change the way you visit restaurants?
Yeah, thanks for bringing that up, actually. It's so interesting because, yes, you know, Crohn's is pretty much all about the food that you eat. And a lot of people with Crohn's have a very limited amount that they can eat. You know,
right.
A lot of people with Crohn's are intolerant to so many different things. And I used to be, for sure. I still have a little, like, some things that set me off. Like, for example, like, if I eat too much salad, that can set off my stomach. Like, it's weird things like that. And then, yeah, like, all the greasy fried food, like, in large amounts on top of the alcohol that I eat definitely can affect me. And the main thing that actually helped me was I started seeing a naturopath nutritionist, I want to say like over a year ago.
Interesting.
Yeah. So this is like something that you have to be really open-minded about. Of course, I go to my Crohn's doctors. I see my gastrointestinal doctor and I'm on prescription meds for that. But I saw this nutritionist slash naturopath and she has me on like dozens of vitamins. I take so many vitamins every day just to reduce inflammation, to help with my digestion. Because before I was slamming Tums, like I had like a mega bottle of Tums on me at all times. And I would like eat them before I went out to eat, during out to eat, after when I went out to
eat. That doesn't seem right.
Yeah, exactly. And Tums are great, but they believe it or not, don't even have the best ingredients. Like there's a lot of artificial dyes in the Tums as well. So I see a nutritionist, she has me on vitamins and it's totally changed the way that I digest foods. Like it's insane. Like before I was going to her, I was always bloated and like had a stomach ache and I didn't even like enjoy going out to eat because I knew the repercussions that would happen after the fact with how I felt and how my stomach would react.
Yep.
And now like when I go out to eat, I eat all those crazy and drink all those crazy things that you see on my page. And like, yeah, I'm a little bloated, but I'm fine. Like, believe it or not, I'm like hungry even after the fact, which is crazy. So
no, that's a game changer for you, especially with the work you're doing now. So that's awesome that you seek the help and got things changed with your system. Awesome. Again, it's Gianna Grevelise. A lot of food content you can see on her IG feed and Nesson and Dirty Water Media work. The place where I did notice you recently is where I'm going to fanboy out because I heard you on Nights and Kiss 108, which is, for people who don't know, basically the official hit music station of Boston. I've been living in Texas for 12 years, but still listen to Kiss and love it. And you've had the opportunity to be on the air at Nights with the V Bros on Kiss 108. For someone spending as much time in the city, what's that been like for you being on air?
Oh my God. So surreal. Like I've only been there a few months and even still I walk into the studio and I'm like, is this real life? Like, because I grew up listening to Kiss 108. Like I remember my mom would drive me to school and I'd be in the back seat, like even in a car seat. And I'd be listening to Kiss 108 in the morning, afternoon, like whenever.
Did you attend a Kiss concert is the question.
Oh my God, I went to every Kiss concert ever since 2006. I was however old I was back in 2006. I can't even do the math. But yeah, and then I actually got to work this year's Kiss concert and I went on stage with the V-Bros to introduce Charlie Puth. And that was just like mind, like boggling. I blacked out the second I got on the stage because I was like, wow, like I used to come here year after year begging my parents for tickets to this concert. And like, now I'm on the stage. I'm so thankful. I'm so grateful. I love Mikey. I love Frankie. They're teaching me so much about radio and they are incredible in their craft. And I love learning from them and getting to spend time with them. And they've become like literally the big brothers I never had. And I'm so appreciative of them. And it's been amazing. It's been a really, really good time there.
That's awesome. Yeah, I love that experience and the full circle moment of now walking on stage. tell me about the opportunity to do like interviews and backstage content. What's that scene like for people who don't know or haven't seen kind of backstage at a Kiss concert type venue? I'm sure there's kind of a lot of hustle and bustle. What would you find most unique about that night backstage?
Yeah. So a lot of people after I worked Kiss concert at the main question I was asked was, you know, like, did you talk to all the celebrities? Did you do this? And the answer is actually no. You know, it's kind of chaotic backstage. We have like a staffing area backstage. It has food and drinks to feed people. The artists can come back there. Not many do. I know Gail, she was one of our artists. She was hanging out back there. But for the most part, other artists, you know, the bigger ones like Charlie Puth and the Chainsmokers have their own trailers that they like to hang out in. And then we do have a little content creating hub that is backstage as well. And that's really, you know, Billy Costa and Romeo's scene. They are taking the reins when it comes to interviewing these celebrities. You know, they're integrated there. These celebrities practically know these radio personnel just from being interviewed so many times between Kiss Concert and Jingle Ball and all these other events. And so, you know, Billy and Lisa even and Romeo, they kind of take the reins when it comes to interviewing the celebrities. But it's not like really the hangout you would think, like between the radio people and then me and Mikey and Frankie, like we run around. We actually all did a live broadcast where we were like running around the Xfinity Center, interviewing fans and, you know, just talking with everyone, asking who they were excited to see. And it's a little chaotic. It really is. Like people were like, oh, how was the concert? And I'm like, I only watched like a little bit of Charlie Puth and a little bit of the Chainsmokers. Other than that, we were working, making content, doing the live broadcast, doing so many things. So it's a grind that day.
Definitely. Well, hopefully there'll be many more Kiss concerts to come for you there at Kiss 108. Again, it's Gianna Gravelese. You can check her out on Instagram, Gianna Gravelese, G-R-A-V-A-L-E-S-E. Let's do some rapid fire questions now before we wrap up here on The Course of Life. Quick, easy ones, Boston-wise for you. Favorite Boston sports venue to attend a game?
Ooh, Fenway Park.
Yep, that's definitely a good call. The classic. I went and saw Red Sox Yankees last summer when I got home, and it was everything I remember. Yeah. And how about maybe I've seen you done some travel. I don't know if it was specifically for Boston sports, but I've definitely done a fair share as well. What's maybe the favorite road venue where you've seen a Boston sports team?
Ooh, so I haven't seen many, but I think my favorite moment was when I was out in college, again in California. I went to school like right next to the Angels Stadium. So I saw the Angels versus the Red Sox. And it was so amazing because there were way more Red Sox fans than Angels fans. Like it was insane. We were even singing Sweet Caroline. Like it was amazing to just see that. And that was my first and I think my only experience traveling on the road and seeing a Boston sports team.
I love that. I've done a few. The notable one I have coming up in a few weeks is I am heading out to Vegas for the Patriots preseason game to check out that new stadium for the Raiders. So I'm excited for that one.
Yeah, that's going to be awesome. I actually haven't even been to a Patriots game, believe it or not.
So. Oh, no. Wow. Yeah. You're going to have to check that off soon this fall for sure.
Okay, this fall it's happening.
Nice. Let's ask about a notable person that you met in the food community as well, too. I think he gets an interesting reputation online. So I'm curious, what was your verdict on meeting Guy Fieri?
Oh my God. He is exactly how he is on TV in person. And believe it or not, he did invite me out to a club after. So that was
nice
experience. And I ended up partying with Guy Fieri after interviewing him. So
what's Guy's drink of choice out at the club?
Oh, his tequila. It was the brand new tequila that he had launched about a year ago. And that was, you know, all in the ice buckets. That was what we were taking shots
of. I mean, of course, it's his tequila, right? One thing I noticed recently on your Instagram feed is we are both part of Bachelor Nation, proudly. This is running a few weeks from when we're talking right now. So we're in the midst of the season. But I want to get your early thoughts on the dual bachelorettes and a little bit of rapport with our Boston guy as well, too.
Oh my God. Yeah. I am living for the double bachelorettes. I have been waiting and waiting and waiting for this season. This has been like the most excited I've been for a season thus far. I love, love, love Gabby. Like I love Rachel too, but Gabby and I feel like we're the same when it comes to our sense of humor. I loved even the first episode when she was like, men are stupid. Like she straight up said that to one of the guys. And I'm like, that's me. That's literally how I act in those situations.
No filter.
No filter. I've been loving it. It's all the chaos I need. And I posted, you know, the Boston guy, I believe his name is Ryan, if I'm not mistaken. I posted him on my Instagram and you wouldn't even believe the amount of DMs I've gotten from other women being like, I know him. And I'm like, oh, like there is some tea there, but
could be a future podcast for, I guess, for me as well too. I'll have to look into that one. I like that.
Yeah, totally.
Nice. One thing we need to clarify, and this is a weird one. I don't often ask questions like this to a guest, but I'm seeing a lot on the internet that you are famous in the UK. Can you clear up those rumors if they're true or not?
They are not true. That would be kind of cool if they were true. Maybe they are true and I'm just like being oblivious right now, but no, it's funny because one of my friends found an article written about me. I think it was on Famous Birthdays or something, which I can't even believe I'm on. I'm like, why am I on there out of all people? And in the article, it said something about how I'm a famous vlogger in the UK, like based in the UK. And I was so confused, but no, that's not true. I am Massachusetts based. I've been to the UK one time and it was fun.
Okay, cool. So you could be famous if UK wants you to be, but for now, not yet. Right.
Exactly. UK, I'm here for you. I love you. I want to come back and visit soon.
Nice. And I noticed on your profile, you're always eating, just like we found out from your content. We always end with food here on The Course of Life. So the final question is a pretty easy one. Might take a little bit of thinking for you, though. What's like your absolute favorite meal on earth to have? If you could have one dinner right now and it could be anywhere at any time, what would it be?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask that. And I love and hate this question because, like you said, it takes so much thinking because I'm such a foodie and I feel like it's, you know, picking a favorite child almost. But I would
maybe even a recent place you visited as well too.
Oh my God, this is so hard. I would have to say my favorite meal of all time, it has to be any sort of pasta. Like the pastas that come in a cheese wheel with the grand, you know, it's this grand gesture when they do it tableside.
Yes.
And they dump the fire in and all that. I would say like a whole Italian meal. Like I am very Italian. So it's like from the breadsticks to the, you know, the oil and vinegar that they give you with the bread, all the appetizers, the arancini, the ricotta, like everything, the pasta, the dessert, tiramisu, like the whole meal. That would be my death row meal, yep. I really think.
Sounds good. Nice Italian buffet. I love it.
Exactly.
Gianna, thank you so much for hopping on The Course of Life. Really do appreciate it. Everyone check her out on social media. Follow her content with Nessun Dirty Water Media. And Kiss 108 Nights. Thanks again, Gianna, for hopping on.
Thank you so much for having me.
And we're back. Great chat there with Gianna. Really makes me miss a whole lot of things about Boston food and the New England food scene. And whenever we would go to Boston, you know, you have to go. Everyone would say you have to go to Mike's, right? You have to go to Mike's and you have to get a cannoli.
It's Mike's Pastry, North End. It's just one sentence. It all goes together. Yeah.
But I'm always a fan of just going across the street and going to Modern. So
I need to try that. I feel like I've been to Modern, but not recently. And I did, you're right, I'm guilty. I did just go to Mike's the last time I walked through the North End. So I need to write that wrong and do the true comparison, it sounds like.
I mean, you're going to be there, so you might as well just do both.
Yeah, if I have time, I'm going to. We'll get to my plans coming up a little bit later. But yeah, I think I'll have time for a seafood meal, maybe a pizza meal. We'll see from there. No, mom's making baked stuffed shrimp, so that always hits hard in the Lausanne household. But yeah, it's great following Gianna. Be sure to check out her content, Nessun Dirty Water Media, and Afternoons Nights on Kiss 108. Really cool follow, and glad we could have her on.
And if you like everything we're doing on this podcast, make sure to follow us as well. Punch that subscribe button on the podcast app of your choice. Follow us on Instagram. COL Podcast is the official Instagram account. You can also find us each on there. He's Course of Life Alex. I'm MWRINC. We're on Twitter too. He's Course of Life 1, and I'm MWRINC.
You nailed it. Let's get to a quick random NFL football headline. I'm almost positive you didn't see this one. It's got nothing to do with football on the field as well.
Probably not.
Wide receiver Robbie Anderson, formerly New York Jets, Carolina Panthers, forget where he's landing now. But the headline is his name change. Okay. So he was Robbie Anderson, R-O-B-B-Y Anderson. And he has gone through the legal process to change his name to Robbie Anderson, R-O-B-B-I-E. Mike, he's changed it from Robbie with a Y to Robbie with an I-E. Your thoughts on that drastic move?
I mean, whatever makes you comfortable with who you are?
Just he cites that it just looks better on paper. That's it. That's really his reason, he says. It has nothing to do with how anyone spelled it or anything like that.
Well, that strikes me as someone who's just really concerned about their self-image.
Yeah, it's very interesting to me because it's just such a subtle change. I was going to ask, you know, what do you prefer, Robbie with a Y or an IE? You also have a wife with a name that could be an IE, but it's not Y. It's an E.
It is yeah, and that is the way she is legally spelled. That's the way her name was spelled on the birth certificate. Most people will drop the E and do ABBY instead of ABBEY. That is, you know, and I knew an Abby in elementary and middle and in high school who was ABBY. Though I think she was technically Abigail. My wife is Abby with an EY. That is her legal name. So
there it is. So it's the classic sound at the end of the name, and Robbie Anderson has brought it to life. Robbie Anderson. So I mispronounced that earlier.
I was should it be like Rob IE? I'm going to start calling him Rob IE. There we go.
Love it.
Let's hashtag always end with food.
Yep. Brought to you by our friend Swing Strong, creators of everything you need to be hydrated on the golf course. Check out Swing Strong, getswingstrong.com. We love this mix of electrolytes and caffeine, along with vitamins and amino acids that you need to perform on the golf course. So again, check out getswingstrong.com and try yours out today. Like I said, heading back home this week, back to the family in New England, Boston, Connecticut, New Hampshire. I'm hitting three different states in New England this weekend. But the question I wanted to get to you, Mike, is the wedding food order. Mm. Both married. We both bring our wives to these weddings nowadays. What direction do you like to go when you check your meal off on the reply invitation back? Are you chicken, beef, veggie? Do you mix it up? What's your thought process there?
I typically go beef. It's, you know, if you're going to give me steak, I'm going to take steak. Because even a bad steak is usually a good steak.
I agree. I typically go beef. What we've been doing, though, is we've actually been getting one beef, one chicken, and we've been comparing and sharing so we can get the best of both worlds. That's been our new move recently. So I'll report back. I think I may even deliver a content review sometime this weekend, and we'll see what goes best at this weekend's wedding. But that's the game plan for me.
Very nice. While you're in New England,
yes,
you're in, of course, the capital area for ice cream, because New England, I have to remind people of this, New England is the highest consuming region of ice cream per capita than any other part of the country.
I forget that every time you say that.
Yeah. And a lot of that comes from New Hampshire.
I'm going to be up there. I got a little over 24 hours in New Hampshire. I may have time for a New Hampshire ice cream stop.
Yep. Well, there is a New Hampshire ice cream trail. And there are 42 different shops on the ice cream trail. Yep. So while you're there, you're going to go on it. And actually, the Wall Street Journal recently wrote about the New Hampshire ice cream trail. And they featured five of their favorite shops on the trail. And included on it was my hometown ice cream place, King Cone. And I don't know if you've been to King Cone. Mm-hmm. It's you got to know Merrimack, first of all, because it's kind of off the beaten trail.
Yeah.
But King Cone serves soft serve, which if you know, soft serve is fantastic. And the namesake King Cone at King Cone is 2 pounds of ice cream that they need to bring out the side door because it won't fit out the window.
That's great. What a great factoid that is, King Cone. Okay, so that made the list. The one that I'm bringing back from my childhood off the top of my head is called Haven. It sits on Route 125, and I don't know where, but I'll see if I run into it. I'll have to try one of these 42 stops, though. It seems like it's a doable thing on the agenda. So, wow, the New Hampshire ice cream trail. Fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
Wouldn't know. Interesting. All right. I will get that done this weekend. Everyone out there, you have a fantastic week, and we'll see you next week on The Course of Life.